Hey guys, welcome back to the Ask Music podcast brought to you by Yellow Music. I'm very excited with my first international guest for season number four. Met these guys when I was touring the States with Delacoma. It was a gentleman's 17 minutes we got to spend together somewhere in Wisconsin, and I was like, I gotta have these guys on the pod when I do the next season. So these guys need no introduction, but I'm sure could do a much better job of it than I can. So 7,000 apart, say good day and introduce yourselves.
Yeah,
Good
hello, good
day.
day.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm Amelie.
I'm John.
Yeah, and we're 7,000 apart.
So 7,000 apart, I assume I'm going to be not breaking any ground here. I did a bit of pre-research. Is that simply because of the fact that of the physical distance in either kilometers or miles between the two of you before you guys met? Is that where this all comes from?
Yeah, so we actually met back in 2012 when I was an exchange student in the US. But then, we started talking about music, and then, one thing led to another, and we became a couple. And then, obviously, I had to go back to Sweden, and John went off to college, and that it was we were forced into a long distance relationship, and it was then we decided that, like, hey, maybe we should start like some kind of music project, even though we're apart. And we looked at the map, and we were 7,011 kilometers apart from each other. So that's where the name came from.
I love it. That's great. So essentially you guys met first through the stuff and you recently, somewhat recently, put up a bit of a reel sort of explaining the story to mix with the music and the stuff you got coming out at the moment and sort of where you guys started and all the, iPhone 4 videos of you guys when you first met to now. So it was more of a right place, right time or right place, wrong time sort of thing initially, and then you went, well, if we can't really be together, then at least we can do the music bit separately. Is that sort of how it already went?
Pretty much.
Yeah, so we dated long distance for 3 years, and we started 7,000 apart on YouTube, just literally to have something else to do and something to talk about while we were 7 hour time difference. And so we just made videos from different countries while I was studying at university, and they weren't that good, but they were something.
Excuse me.
Bless you. They were something to keep us going, I guess, and keep us having something in common. And then after that, we got married, moved to the US, and then it just kind of became our job after a certain number of years.
Awesome. So what's the breakup now? Are you predominantly in the US or is it because I know you're not there right now, are you?
No, so we're in Sweden, so it's morning time. So we're still waking up and getting our morning sneezes out,
Fantastic. Look, I've already done my post-dinner sneezes, so I'm all good for tonight.
You understand.
Yeah, so we actually moved to Sweden a year and a half ago. So technically we live here, but we still spend like 5 or 6 months out of the year in the US, predominantly playing shows.
Yeah, two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I met you guys. So the beautiful John Justice, who you had playing the four strings for you back in last year. How did you sort of get into going, well, we want to be touring musicians, we want to do it for good? Like, was there a bit of a transition, or did you do the cold turkey and say, look, we don't want to do something else, we want to do this, so we have to make it happen?
It was definitely a process. I think we had 8 jobs between the two of us in the
Yeah.
beginning when we moved to the US, and we knew we wanted to do music, but at the beginning, like, I couldn't work legally yet because I was waiting for my work permit. And so we just started doing open mics, and then the open mics eventually turned into some paid gigs, and we did maybe like a few a month, and then a few a month turned into like
A lot a
a
month.
lot of
A lot in a month, yeah.
and
And then
then
COVID
COVID
hit.
shut down everything, obviously.
We had like 75 gigs canceled that we had booked ourselves
Yeah, we were
for.
going to become full time in 2020, and but that because of COVID, it delayed it a year. And luckily for summer 2021, it was open enough, and there was enough like outdoor gigs that we could quit all of our other jobs and just do music. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's super exciting because to think about a couple of guys I know that were in that they'd made that transition in like 2018, so they knew what was needed and then they had to sort of figure out how to adjust in the closed up times. But to sort of go, yep, we want to do it now, and then no, I actually have other ideas.
Yeah, so it was a really sucky time for us because we had just come off our first regional tour in the US. We had 75 shows booked. We had just gotten off of Sweden's Got Talent, So we had all this momentum that literally was like in February, like February 20th-ish, all this momentum. And then it just kind of stopped and we're like, no, that's not allowed.
No, that
So
wasn't part of our master plan, guys.
yeah. So we ended up doing a YouTube video every single day. And then one of our fans was telling us about this live streaming platform called YouNow. And we were always like, oh, we don't have time for that. We don't have time. We're doing live shows and all that. And then we're like, oh, we have nothing. We need to do something. And so we ended up doing this live streaming platform, and we met a ton of friends and fans, and it kind of became a thing that we
It became
did.
our job for like a few, like for 6 months or something, or even more. And it was a really, really cool way to still make music and still perform music in front of people.
And people were amazing. It was kind of like touring online, like you could guest on other people's streams. So we did that like 8 times a day. And you could, get in front of maybe 2,000 people a day from just your couch, which was insane.
That is crazy. Like, just like I did a little bit of that myself. Like, just a couple of things, one-off things. When everyone started getting into the live stream, we did some stuff in a band I was in at the time, like in the UK. And we, like, bit of smoke behind the mirrors here, guys. We recorded ours pre, and then everyone else was doing theirs because it would have been like 2 a.m. in the UK. So we pre-recorded ours, but did it as like a live stream. We introduced ourselves, and without actually interacting with the comments, we were just like, hey guys, we're blah blah blah, this is in the band, and the next song we're gonna play is this. And we thought that was electric, but yeah, that's a pretty big commitment to be doing it so much. But like, I suppose if you get to the collaboration side of things, and you still feel like you're sort of doing it.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, we met so many people that we're still friends with too, and it kept some momentum, I think, which was really nice, and kept us like performing. So we got to practice a
A
ton.
lot, yeah.
Like,
We started doing like live looping and stuff too, which was really fun, and just exploring
production
new
on
things. Yeah.
stream, like it started, then eventually we got to like we were streaming 8 hours a day, so we had to do like video games and stuff too. So then we're like, oh, maybe that's a little bit too much. Like we should keep something for ourselves, like.
So Adley's brushing her teeth right now. You're not gonna believe it, guys. So it's awesome. She's been brushing her teeth now for 15 minutes. Quick, get the cameras in here.
Exactly.
Yeah, a little bit of you time was needed, when you're essentially in the house all the time, you forget what the boundaries are a little bit.
Very much.
So for 7,000 Apart, what would you tell someone, or what do you tell someone that's never heard of you guys before when they want to know what it sounds like?
So we say that the album that we are currently finishing up, which is called Feel Your Feelings, it's our second album. I would say it's like indie pop electronic with some like folk and rock influences. And we're really, really excited. We're releasing the last song now, and it's been a long project, and so we're excited to wrap it up. At the same time, we're super proud of what it became.
It's a COVID baby,
It's a
so.
COVID baby, very much. And it came out of like some really like hard struggles, and some years that were really, really tough mentally. And so we wanted to write an album about mental health, really. So all of the songs have something to do with mental health, not in like an in your face way, but in a way where we wrote songs that we ourselves needed to hear.
Absolutely. And I think and those themes are timeless, and that's there's a different story, and for people to be able to grab a little piece of you, like, and I'll be able to understand where you're coming from and be able to relate that to themselves, that's the whole point of art anyway. And I think anything you can do in with those sort of themes is ever present, more so now than ever.
Yeah, for
Well,
sure.
I wanted to know about your sort of process. Now, like, you're obviously in a and to quote you before, Emily, when you said a treated as fuck room. So you're in the stewed. Are you putting it all together yourselves? Like, is that how this is working? You're putting it all together yourselves?
When we moved here, we moved into a 15 square meter, that's like 160 square feet apartment. And so we realized that we can't work from home. That is impossible because it's too tiny. And so our first like thing that we had to get was a studio. So we looked around Stockholm. We found one that we rented for like a month, and then but that was just like 2 days a week, which wasn't enough. And so we kept our eyes open, and we went to see a bunch of studios, and eventually we stumbled on this, which it's like It's like a hallway of a bunch of rooms, but this is the
Mm-hmm.
only one that's treated because the guy that was here before, he worked at Google or something, and this was like his side hobby. So his hobby was to like make, treat it, like produce and yeah, do something. That's what we've heard. We've never met him, so we don't know. And yeah, so it's just like tr so treated. It's so nice. It's actually like the ceilings are really tall, and we have a window that you can see a window through, because that was like a big deal, because in Sweden there are studios everywhere, but they're all underground, so you
Okay.
rarely see the sunlight.
That's always the joke, that you look like John's shirt after 6 months of being in the studios, that you've just become a white piece of paper. So nice to have a bit of natural light. That's very, very rare.
A little bit.
Especially in Sweden too,
Yeah, and
because
also
it's
the
so
like
dark here.
yeah, and the ceiling height and everything. We really like the hallway outside is like super pink too. So we just like, I'm home.
It makes you happy. Like, it gives you some stimulation for your eyes in the middle of Swedish winter.
And it's like the perfect distance from our apartment. It's like a 15 to 20 minute walk. So we always like get a little bit of a walk in before work, and it's yeah, we love our little studio.
No, that's good. And I think that as someone that had to, I didn't do as much work from home as a lot of people. Not a massive fan. I was working from like MySpace. Like for anyone who knows MySpace, it's a couple of monitors with my Mac, and then I have everything plug and play. So as much as I can take things out and shift things as I need, I have it built for the quick idea. Or like when I had some lads over the other day, we just quickly. Oh, that's a good idea. Get the acoustic. Already had the mic I'm singing, speaking to right now set up. It's already plugged in. Like normally when the drum kit's behind me, all that stuff. I had a creative space that was getting used for admin, and I went either started looking lovingly at the drum kit behind me, or I was just not enjoying going in the space when I wasn't at work, and I made short work of that because I was like, I need to go somewhere else, because. I need the separation, and I think it's cool that you guys actually have that, even though you have the physical limitation you needed somewhere else, having your, no, we're going to work now. Like we're physically going to work now. So let's, let's switch on, and that's super important to have that separation as well.
Especially like when you own your own business, you need to like, and especially when you do it with a partner, because it's so easy to let like work and personal life all like kind of become a big jumble. But when you separate it by space, then like as soon as we get to the studio, we are 7,000 apart, Amelie and John. And then when we get home, we're not that anymore. We are just Amelie and John. Yeah.
Yeah,
The married
exactly.
couple, you know?
Yeah.
No,
No,
yeah.
and that's because that was going to be one of my questions I had for you was like, what's the balance for you guys? Like, how do you sort of mix that? Like, obviously, you had the physical balance of like you doing stuff between the US and Sweden, but like, yeah, how do you guys keep things fresh in the studio, being that you guys can talk about ideas at any point?
It is still production and songwriting, still my hobby, I would say. Like, I mean, I love doing those things, and it's like I'm always thinking about those things, but at the same time, like that's my hobby. So it's not like I am always talking about it with Amelie too. Like I might write a song, but I won't talk about it with her until we're like we need to look at new songs. Or like if I do talk about it, it's because I'm so excited, but
Yeah.
it's like
It's
a then it's
like, you
more
gotta listen to this. You gotta listen to this. And
yeah.
I'm like, we have to go. And he's like, just listen. I'm like, okay.
But I think it's the other aspect is just like we do have like show season and then non-show season. And so like it really like we've been able to separate our brain being like, okay, now we're performing, if we do write something great and try to document like our feelings and whatnot, but like then when we're off like touring, we can really do everything else, I think. That's the goal at least. Like I don't know if it's worked yet because it's hard. It's really hard. But I think it's been better and better every year. So I think it's going the right direction for balancing all that stuff.
Yeah, and you got to find a strategy. It's all about sort of trial and error. You got to find what works. Like much like in a creative sense, you got to find what works. You got to try things and go, ah, that doesn't work. And like I was last season, I was chatting to a duo that I know that are playing folk tunes, and they've been together for a while, and it's the same thing. And they were living in a van and doing that for a long time and stuff like that. And then they grounded themselves just sort of recently, and that whole thing was like, how do you like? There's no space. Like, there's no, I'm going to sit in the back and you're going to sit in the driver's seat because I need space from you. It's very much a we're together all the time. And are we doing music all the time? Are we doing relationship admin all the time? Is one of them missing out? And having that balance is definitely something that, yeah, there's no necessarily one size fits all.
Yeah, we realized that just spacing it helps a lot. Like, we're definitely happier here, even though we had like a much bigger apartment when we lived in the US. We are definitely happier here just because of the separation, I think, too. And just the way that we get to live our lives. We are so, since we, Stockholm is a very walkable city and the like public transport is really good. So in the US, we only had one car. And so if we, one person wanted to go out, the other person had to come with or like stay home. While here, like we can go off and do whatever we want at whatever times. And so I think that helps a little bit too, not to feel stuck.
And then I think it fits more like our, like people are always doing something too, like largely.
There's here, always something happening.
Which is really nice. So you can, you don't feel like you're missing something if you skip something.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be another thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I shift over to something that I saw, which might feel like it was a while ago now. As soon as I saw it, I was like, I need to write this down. I need to remember this. You guys, just when you mentioned Google before, you guys did something to do with music and AI.
Yeah, so we are working together a little bit with Stockholm Music City, which is an organization that they're kind of like a part of Nordic music tech. So they are like where music and tech meets. So it's a lot of like startups in the tech world that are working with like music and things, you know, like so many music tech unicorns have come out of Sweden. Yeah. Like, I mean, Spotify is from here. And so there's a lot of music tech going on. And so we were actually invited to an event at Google, their headquarters, to where they were talking about, okay, what's AI and music? What's that going to happen? Well, what does it look like? How is it going to affect musicians? Is AI just scary and bad, or is it something that actually can
like
help?
A tool.
Is it a tool, you know? And maybe it's both. But yeah, that's really cool. Again, there's so much happening in the city, and there's so many awesome people that we get to talk to and meet. We were just at another like conference / music festival, showcase festival called Future Echoes, where we also had like a Nordic Tech Day, Creative Tech Day, where there were some, you know, startups and musicians. We got to sit on our first like panels. It felt very professional. We got to, you know, to talk about like the future of music and tech and how important live is going to be now that everything is moving more online. Like people are going to crave that authentic connection even more. And yeah, it's a cool world to be a part of. I grew up very techie. I studied programming and stuff. And so to me, like, this intersection between music and tech is very interesting.
Yeah, wow. Okay, because like I work in marketing for a living, and as part of that, the AI conversation is obviously common, and how we use these tools and Bard, now Gemini and ChatGPT and all those things for hooks and for art and stuff like that. But it was interesting to, I liked that I saw not only people that I knew of, but just that there were people that I knew were hard workers in that industry that were invited to the conversation. And like you relate to the thing you're saying about like Spotify's from here and all that. God damn, you should have been in the conversation. Like, absolutely, you should have been in the conversation. You guys are qualified. And that for me was nice to see, just to be invited to the party.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, we just found out this person that we met, we kind of met her through they do like this open mic thing.
Yeah, that's how we first got involved with them, was that they, every Monday of the month here in Stockholm, they do something called Måndagsklubben, just the Monday Club. And it's kind of like an open mic / networking event for music professionals. But because it's hosted by Nordic Music Tech, it's a lot of tech people there too, and startups and stuff. And so that's, we just like wrote them. We're like, hi, can we come and perform? And they're like, of course. And so we did that. And then because of that, we've gotten to know some really cool people. The woman in charge, her name is Sarah. She's incredible. The stories that she tells, you think that she's like making stuff up, but yeah, she's lived an amazing life. We think she might have been the manager of Roxette
Just at some point.
because she was talking about being on tour with them and like talking about all that. And we're like, okay, this is like one of the biggest Swedish bands in all time. Okay,
She was
cool.
like randomly yesterday we were
Yeah.
talking and she's like, yeah, I was asked to help build all the arenas in Dubai.
Yeah.
And you're like, I just asked if you were like what you thought of the weather today, and you're like, oh, you know where it's hot in Dubai where I built all those stadiums. But yeah, what do you think?
Yeah.
And she's like hung out with like Lady Gaga and just like, yeah, she's incredible. And so she's a
But there's a
big
lot of people
reason.
like that
Yeah.
here too, and the cool thing I think has been is they're so open to collaboration and so open to like, hey, you should meet this person, you should meet this person, and like, oh, you guys would be great together, and oh, you're so hardworking, like, thank you for all you're doing, like, come to this Google thing, here's this Export Music Sweden thing, like, that tells you how to get your music out because Sweden wants to promote culture, and you know, it's just like all these things, like all these connections, and it's been so fast too, like that she's just like, hey, you know. And I think it's cool. There's people like that, you know?
Yeah.
It's really, those are the best people in any industry, but especially in music, who are just like good people and like people and want to connect people.
Absolutely, and it's proof that yeah, things move faster when we're acting like it's a community, not a competition.
Yeah.
Yes, we're all for that.
With your latest releases, there's been lots since we talked about teeing this up, but what I'm not gonna try and make you pick favorite children, that's poor of me, but what, yeah, like you're super excited for it, but tell me sort of a little bit about one of the tracks that you know you're really, really, really proud of.
I think,
The next one, maybe.
yeah, the last one. I don't know when this is gonna air, but it's called Started a Fire. It's literally about burning the music industry to the ground. That's where like it's you. So instead of being like mad about it, that like, you know, the music industry is the way it is, we just kind of put it in a song to get our, you know, feelings out. And we have a
Cathartic.
super, yeah, it works. And we have a super, super cool collab on it. His name is Tommy, and he is one of the guitarists in Sabaton, which is like one of the biggest metal bands in Sweden and like in the world. And
They're headlining with co-headlining with Judas Priest.
yeah, so you know, they're like at that level.
Yeah,
Yeah.
one of Sarah's mates.
And so like, yeah, so we're so
Exactly.
he's doing a guitar solo in the song that's just like so sick. And the song is just like very empowering and really fun. And we've already recorded two music videos for it, thanks to like a collab we did with a photo school here in Stockholm. We had a project to make music videos, and yeah, so we got like four music videos in a week. It was crazy.
Yeah, I know. You guys were just churning them out. I was like, "Jesus, there's something going on here." They're just churning them out. It's awesome to see you guys doing stuff, and you're dressed up in certain things, and in studios, and outside, and all this stuff. And I was like, "That's super cool." Like, it's crazy when you watch the idea without the storyboard, and you just see a bunch of things, and it's just like, you know, John with a teapot on his head, and then like you're in a car reversing, and I'm like, so many things here. There's so many themes. Like, who knows what this could all be about when it all comes together.
Oh my gosh, yes.
What's your relationship with sort of like the record and really having a polished product and the video clips and all that sort of stuff as opposed to playing? And like just for each of you, in case it's different, what's the love? What's the real love?
I think I love both pretty equally, and like we've done so much live, and I absolutely love that, but I think there's certain things, like now I'm like, I keep going further with it. Sorry. I keep going further with live, where it's like, oh, I want to add lighting, and like I want to add all these other things,
Smoke machine.
smoke machines, and wouldn't it be sick, and like, you know, all these stuff, that type of stuff, and
Projector time.
how do we get people to like come, and I don't know, it's like different things, but for I love songwriting and I love producing and I love all that stuff too, and I think we haven't really had the chance to do that until we moved to Sweden, and so it's still very fresh here because we've, even though we've been here a year and 3 months, we have been gone back to the US like 6 months out of that or something. So like I'm really so stupidly excited to really dive into recording and actually Feel Your Feelings side B. Pretty much I did around 80% of all the production. And so that I'm really excited for that too. And just like I hope people's reaction is good for it. But if not, I'm gonna keep doing it and try to get better and all that. And I just love learning and I love like that process. And so I think both live and studio have that. You know, you can always learn about more things in music. And so That's like my favorite thing in general, and so I like both kind of equally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Like there's so many things you can do with both. Like I remember when I first started playing drums, I just assumed it was get a couple of guys and gals with guitars and someone that sings, and then we'll put it together. And now I think about it and running tracks next to me and doing these other things, and there's so many bits and bobs to it. It's so not just that simple, and that's just the live thing. That's before we even get started about actually producing and doing stuff in more of a production setting.
That's why I love it so much, because it's so versatile music.
That's what I mean. That's what I think. And like for your live show, are you more interested in doing more band stuff, or are you happy doing stuff just the two of you? Like what's the goal there?
We always love having the band with us, but that's not always possible, both of financial and space reasons. Because I would say we still do about 50-50. And that works, because then we get to do like the really cozy small shows where, it's very intimate and stuff, but then we get to do the big band shows as well. Obviously, I love having my band around, and I love the big sound, and I love like playing with them,
Friends.
but yeah, exactly. And just having friends with us like on the road and stuff is always the best, but there's something special about just being the two of us too. And because we can be a lot more flexible, and we can try new things really easily and try new songs, especially if it's like a chill night and we're just like, let's just play something we've never played before. We get like requests, sometimes, and that's really fun, and we can't do that with the band as easily. Sometimes like they're great, obviously, but we are so like on the same plane, and we can like read each other really well now after 500 some shows.
Absolutely. No, absolutely, guys. And I love watching what you guys are doing and all the extracurriculars that you've got going on, rather as well as just the actual shows themselves. But I gotta ask, what's next? Like I know we've got the record and stuff, but like what's happening for you guys, bigger picture? Where do you want to see 7,000 Apart?
We're heading back to the US for 3.5 months for tour this summer. And we're working already on writing a lot and producing and all that for the next project. I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited for the future. And like, we really want to, I think the main thing is just want to be able to find ways to play for people that know our music as well, and find how to connect to those people online and offline and all those things. And so just trying to figure that out, I think. And it's a crazy process, I think, but it's been fun to learn how that works as well.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, guys. And I think there's definitely something to be said about that. Like everyone's obviously keen to build the audience and obviously play in front of new people. And like I say, when I talk about like the tagline of this podcast, it's about me facilitating to other people to help them find their next favorite artist. And that's what I think of this to be, in a way that you can maybe connect a bit more with, because I could send you anyone's Apple Music or Spotify link. But the engagement of being able to watch a conversation between people to understand more, I find that I enjoy the songs of people that I've spoken with on here more. Like I'll be honest, a shameless fan, I do spin some 7,000 Apart on the work radio when I'm the tunes man. But I don't know, just certain things, like just hearing you talk about mental health, I know that I will listen to the lyrics differently tomorrow morning in the office. Like just because just inherently I know something I didn't know before, and that's what I'm trying to do with this. So any opportunity to be able to get to know those, or those that do like the tracks, because in the inverse, you've got those that already like the tracks, and sort of being able to go, how can I be in front of you, either digitally or physically? How can I be in front of you?
Exactly. And I think especially now since we've talked about AI a little bit, there's going to be so many AI artists, and there are going to be so many legacy
Legacy, yeah.
artists and stuff too. And I think people are going to,
Like the Beatles are coming back.
yeah, the Beatles are already releasing new tracks, even though they're not writing more. And just like being able to get to know artists and like really have a personal relationship in that way, whether it is online or coming to shows, or I think people are going to be more interested in listening to smaller, real artists in the future.
We
'Cause
can't afford food or can't buy
yeah, whatever.
it. Yes, please listen to us, because the toast is hard to share one slice for a week. But otherwise, listen to whoever you want, as long as it's please us, please, please us. But yeah, no, but no, well, look, I know a lot of people who like your style of music that aren't John. So I know that there's going to be a lot of people who are keen to listen to you guys now they know about you. And I'll continue to spin 7,000 apart on the Mac at work to get everyone else involved in my office. Thank you so much for sitting with me and having a chat and starting your day with a bit of Ask a Muso. I appreciate you guys sitting down with me and telling me a little bit about you guys.
Thank you so much for having us. This has been awesome. We really loved meeting you this summer, and hopefully we can meet up again soon.
Yeah, I hope you can come back to the US
or come to Sweden.
Yes, well, the thing is, look, at this stage, we are, John and I and Caleb, we've discussed about taking the Justice Trio over to the States, so hopefully we can tee it up when you guys are over there. Otherwise, yeah, Sweden, why not? Lock it in, guys. I've got two options. How good is that?
We'll come down to Australia. We could use some sun, so maybe we'll come down to
look,
you guys.
I think the natural light's doing wonders for you, but we've got a fuckload of natural light here, guys. So I think, yeah, any chance you want to come down under enjoy the radiant sun and hang out, that would be absolutely awesome.
Yeah, if you're anything in Wisconsin or the US or Sweden, just like if you need anything, let us know. We'd love to help.
Awesome, guys. Well, that's another episode of the Ask Muso podcast. Lovely to have a bit more of a chat without having to raise my voice in a dingy Wisconsin bar with these lovely two individuals. So coffee's all around, 7,000 apart. Check them out on all their social media, on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you choose to stream your music. And until next time, I'll see you later.